We turn to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 29, which is the portion about Philip and the Ethiopian that he encounters in the desert. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 29. I'll read one verse and then you read the next, okay? And that's how we'll progress through this passage. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You read verse 30. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.
And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?
And the last verse we'll read here, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Praise God. Aren't you glad the message is Jesus? Amen. You may be seated. Now, revival in the early church was something that exploded. In spite of opposition, in spite of contrary opinions and actions, that revival just continued to grow. The Lord added to the church. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out for the first time, 3,000 were added to the church. Praise God. In Acts 4 and 4, the number grows to 5,000. Now, that's just not 2,000 more. That's actually 5,000 more. So the number is more than 8,000. In Acts 5 and 14, more were added. Multitudes, the Bible says. In Acts 6 and 7, the number of disciples multiplied. Amen. By this time, the numbers are difficult to add up. I think it's Josephus, a first century historian, estimated the number of the church in Jerusalem to be around 80,000. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? No wonder Paul was able to say to the king in Acts 26 when he is being prosecuted and being examined and so on. And he challenges the king, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe what's going on here? Have you heard of what's happened? And he said, this thing was not done in a corner. Not something obscured, not something put aside, not something that everybody could ignore. And so this story of revival continues in Acts chapter 8 when Philip went to the city of Samaria. He preached Christ to them, the Bible says. That was his theme. And that was the consistent message that he brought forth. It's all about him. Praise God. We're going to exalt him. We're going to lift him up. His name is going to be glorified. So as Philip preached Christ to them, miracles began to occur in the powerful name of Jesus. Unclean spirits were cast out. The lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Thank God. I'm glad the message of the Lord brings joy. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. It brings power. It's not a burden. It's not a hardship. It's not a difficulty. It's not something that will bring sorrow. Thank the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, the Bible says, and he adds no sorrow with it. Sorrow comes from the places of sin and wrongdoing in the world. But I'm thankful that power in the name of Jesus brings great joy. Men and women were baptized in the name of Jesus. It's mentioned twice there in the 8th chapter of Acts. Twice it is emphasized that they were baptized in the name of Jesus, because that is the Bible way. That is the pattern that is established. And it's significant that men and women both were baptized, as it says there in that passage. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women were present on the day of Pentecost. They were not excluded from being baptized in Jesus' name. Thank God that the scripture says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Thank God that we are able to step into that realm of blessing and power that the Lord would bring to us. So they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul and John came from Jerusalem to lay hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm thankful for powerful revival that began in the book of Acts and continues yet today. As we hear reports from the missionaries, you see the video, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the children, upon the elderly, upon everybody, because that's what God desires to bring forth into the world today. The value of revival cannot be overemphasized. If it doesn't happen, if revival does not happen, nothing else matters. But the converse of that statement is true as well. If revival happens, then nothing else matters, because that's what we desire to see, and the power of God being displayed in a great way. And so, Philip is commanded to leave this huge citywide revival and directed by the Spirit to go into the desert place. The angel spoke to him to arise and to go. The message was very concise. It was not complicated. It was not difficult for him to decipher. Arise, get up, and go. Get moving. Praise God. Thank the Lord that God can direct us into the harvest. I'm sure as Philip wandered in that desert area, and there was nobody around, there were no dwellings, there was no much in the way of vegetation, and all of the things that he perhaps had become accustomed to in that great revival in Samaria were completely absent now in the desert place. But Philip saw the chariot, and again he heard the voice of the Lord, "Go near." And the Bible says Philip ran. Amen. And I think I would too. Is that the possibility of a ride? I'm going to get on that chariot. I'm tired of walking in this sand. Tired of walking in this desert. I want a ride. But I think he ran because he was quick to obey the voice of God. God had directed him to the city of Samaria. Great revival broke out. God now directed him in this desert place, and here's a single chariot over there on the horizon. He ran to intercept that chariot. The Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah. He had the scroll rolled out as he was moving, perhaps at a leisurely pace, down through that desert road. Our laws say don't text and drive, and everybody said amen. There was no law, apparently, about reading a scroll and riding in your chariot. No cop on a camel is going to pull him over and say, "Hey, now, guy, you're not supposed to have the scroll unrolled here and your eyes off this road, even though you're the only chariot in 100 miles. You're not supposed to be doing that, buddy. We're gonna fine you." That didn't happen. I don't know who was more surprised. The Ethiopian, as he is up in his chariot to see a lone man out here in the desert place, or for Philip to run to the chariot and find him reading from the scriptures. Surprise, no doubt, was on each of their faces, but no surprise for God. Nah, he's the one that set this up. He's the one who said, "All right, Ethiopian, here's when you're going to leave, and here's what you're going to do as you're riding through the desert. And Philip, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to leave that revival. You're going to walk away from that place. You're going to be out in a desert place, but you're not going to be alone, because I'm going to direct you into the harvest." God knows where the harvest is. God knows how revival is important to a city and to a soul. God, help us to be in tune with the Holy Ghost and be led by the Lord to the one who is hungry. Amen. And the passage that he read from Isaiah, talking about the one being led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb he appears, and his life is taken from the earth. And Philip asks him the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the very important message that I want to bring to you today, how can I, except some man, guide me? Amen. Guide me. Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of somebody else? And Philip, praise God, he'd already preached Christ. He'd already baptized in the name of Jesus. He'd already seen John and Peter come from Jerusalem and lay hands on those who had been baptized and saw them get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And now he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I don't know if this Ethiopian had heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He had come from that far African country up to Israel and perhaps had not been aware of what was taking place. But thank God he was getting in tune now with the message that the Lord would have him to receive. He heard about Jesus. Praise God. And I like the way Brother Treese, in the literal word commentary on the book of Acts, he has the translation of the Ethiopian bursting forth with enthusiasm. Look, water. Praise God. Look, water. He wanted to be baptized. He asked the question, what doth hinder me from being baptized? That's a good question that people need to ask themselves today. Sometimes there's religion. Sometimes there's family. Sometimes there's friends. Sometimes there's fear. Sometimes there are other things that hinder people from being baptized. I know the devil will do all that he can to hide this beautiful truth under man's traditions and man's teachings, but I'm thankful for the word of the Lord that directs us, that guides us, that helps us to understand this is what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart, that's what it takes. And two grown men went into the water. It must have been more than a sprinkle. It must have been more than a splashing. Thank God he was buried in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing, having the touch of God in his life. Now there would be some who would say, wait. It doesn't say all that Philip preached. It doesn't say that he preached about repentance and remission of sins beginning at his name, or being preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. It doesn't talk about Jesus saying, you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It doesn't say anything about repent and be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But does that mean Philip didn't say it? He preached Jesus. He told about the revival in Samaria. Praise God. Oh my. If that same principle were to be applied, Brother Abbott, tell us about your hunt in New Zealand. Well, I went to New Zealand and I came back. Is that what Brother Abbott would say? No, my word. He gets his pictures out. He starts sliding them on the screen. He starts showing you this and that. If you went to Disney World or you went to Disneyland, you would just say, well, we checked in the hotel. We went on a few rides and we came home. No. No. You would be telling about your trip to Disneyland. You would be telling about your anniversary, your birthday, your whatever it is that you were asked to tell about. You would be giving details. You'd be giving the whole story. And you wouldn't have to start over each time. You would just go right on into it and tell about all the glorious details. Why not about Jesus? Why not lift up Jesus? Why not exalt him and the power of his name? Why not tell about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Oh, those kind of guys make me tired. I'm thankful that the power of God is able to be displayed in a great way, and God's goodness is coming forth. Hallelujah. As Philip preached about Jesus, Philip preached about revival, Philip preached about the name above every name, Philip preached about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Philip preached about God doing good works among the people of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I challenge the guys that go around making statements about this kind of stuff that, oh, it didn't say that. Oh, it didn't. You know, go into the courtroom and see if you can get away with that. And the prosecuting attorney, you know, making his statements, and the defending attorney jumping up and saying, wait a minute, you didn't say, you didn't do. The judge would tell him, sit down. He already said that. Go into a car dealer, Lord help us. Go into a car dealer and see if you can get away with that. Oh, you didn't say. Oh, you didn't talk. Oh, you didn't add. They'd tell, excuse me, you need to go to another car lot where they are able to deal the way you deal. Why do people think they can do that with the Scripture? Why do they think they can just say, oh, it doesn't say this, oh, it doesn't say that? No, I'm going to take all that it says, amen. Hallelujah, and apply it to my life. Praise God. Amen. Moreover, Brother Treese did some research and found an ancient document called the Codex A in Alexandria. Not Alexandria, Louisiana, Alexandria, Egypt. He was over there doing research, and he found a passage in that ancient document that says the eunuch received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It says it fell on him. That's why he went on his way rejoicing. Thank God the Holy Ghost is not a burden. The Holy Ghost is not a hardship. The Holy Ghost is not a difficulty. It'll bring rejoicing. It'll bring happiness. It'll bring joy. It'll bring power. It'll bring strength. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know the power of the Lord in a great way. But now his request was, guide me. Angels were busy giving guidance, but they don't give the gospel. The messages to Joseph and Mary at the announcement of the birth of Jesus, and then after the birth of Jesus, it seems like the angels were there in a continual way. And then the angels appeared to the disciples after the resurrection to declare, he is not here, he is risen. Praise God. The angel spoke to Philip for guidance for him to go out into the desert place. The angel directed Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 to send for Peter. His prayers and his alms, Cornelius had come up as a memorial before God, and the angel appeared to him and sent to Joppa, gave him instructions, send to the city of Joppa for a man named Simon Peter, and he'll come and tell you what you ought to do. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that Peter gave the same message as Philip did. Baptism in the name of Jesus, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Angels aren't going to tell the gospel message. You and I are. Amen. Amen. And man should be in place to guide the right way. Now, there are creeds, there are religions, there are philosophies. Paul in Athens at the court of Areopagus among the Stoics and the Epicureans, as they debated and discussed different issues and different thoughts and different philosophies. They even had an inscription, to the unknown God. It wasn't that they were unreligious. It wasn't that they were heathen. It's just that they had so many that they included, even the unknown God. And Paul began at that same point and preached unto them Jesus. Hallelujah. And the resurrection. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring us in the right way, in the right direction. The Bible lets us know there is a way that seems right unto a man. It seems right. It appears to have the answers. It looks like there's no fallacy, and this is the way that we should go. But the Bible warns the end thereof. The end. How's it going to turn out? How's it going to finish? How's it going to end up? The end thereof are the ways of death. That's why we've got to make sure we're not following man's way. We're following what God is directing us to do. The foolishness of God, Paul said, is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. If there is such a thing as foolishness and weakness of God, it would still be far greater than anything that man could come up with. Oh, yes, when we're talking about man being the guide, we're not talking about his own thoughts, his own ideas. We're talking about you and I taking the Word of God, the witness of the Holy Ghost, the power of the name of Jesus, and letting other people know how good our God is. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. I'm not going to be part of that. Amen. We're going to let the light of the Word of God shine in our lives. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus led a blind man out of town. All that he was familiar with, all of the directions that he had memorized, all the counting of steps to a particular corner, and then turn left or right, whatever destination he was needing to go to, the marketplace or the synagogue or whatever. He led him away from all that was familiar, all that he was comfortable with, all that he was knowledgeable about. That would seem to be a cruel thing. That would seem to be a bad joke. That would seem to be a harsh undertaking. But Jesus was leading him away from all that he was familiar with so that he could rely in faith upon the Lord Jesus. And Jesus twice touched the blind man and he was healed and he could find his own way back to town now. Thank God, because he was healed and able to see. I'm thankful that God opens our eyes. God opens our minds. God opens our hearts. God brings light into our life so that we can walk with Him in the power of the Holy Ghost. But you and I need to guide those who have that desire to know what the Word of God says. And just as Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus, I'm thankful to know the Word of God is alive and powerful, alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing and effective, as the Amplified renders Hebrews 4 and 12, powerful enough to make a lasting change in the lives of people. And I'm going to stay with the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul commended Timothy and admonished him to continue in the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And I'm thankful there can be a readiness within us. Paul declared, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Rome? Don't you know that's the seat of Caesar? Don't you know that's where you're going to be imprisoned? Don't you know that's where you're going to be incarcerated and not have the liberties that you've enjoyed now? No, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll preach even at Rome. Praise God. Peter had told us, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you. Thank God they'll be able to recognize there's a change in your life. It's a positive change. It's a change that springs forth with hope. It's a change that's established on the anchor of hope. Thank God they don't have to come to you and say, why are you so sad? Why are you so down? Why are you so broken? Why is everything falling apart for you? No, they'll come and ask a reason of the hope because they see a positive change. Change in your life because they recognize God has done something good for you. They may not be able to understand it, but you can give an answer. They may not be able to grasp it, but you can give an explanation. You can give a testimony. You can give a witness. Hallelujah. You can be the one to guide somebody to understand. God's power is so great. God's power is so wonderful. God's power has not diminished in the 21st century, but it is continuing on. Praise God. And just like Philip was guided by the Spirit, you and I need to be guided by the Spirit to guide others. The Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot, and he ran to obey. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can be quick to do the Master's bidding. Because the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, your word is truth, Lord. Praise God. And the true worshipers are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. Thank the Lord that that's how we enjoy our worship. Not something dead, not something stilted, not something dry and dusty, but something alive and powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Puts a run on our feet, puts a clap in our hands, puts a smile on our face. Thank God. Puts joy in our heart. Oh, I'm thankful that I know how powerful our God is and what He is able to do to bring about a change. Thank God. And we pray so that God will guide us. Amen. David prayed in Psalm 31 and 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Praise God. For your name's sake, Lord, lead me and guide me so that you would be exalted, so that you would be praised, so that you would be lifted up. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the psalmist would further write Psalm 73 and 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Praise God. That's God's plan. That's God's direction. That's the outcome God wants to bring into your life. God wants to guide you to glory. Hallelujah. Stay with the word of the Lord. Stay with the scripture. Stay with the spirit. Amen. Stay with the church. Praise God. Move on in the body. There's healing in the body. Praise God. And we're going to see the hand of God move in an even greater way. Thank the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Let's lift our hands and love him together. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Ah, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. There's no greater thrill to feel the anointing of God on your life as you are telling somebody about Jesus, as you're giving them instruction about the new birth, born of the water and born of the Spirit. You feel that sweet presence of God come and anoint your mind and anoint your heart, and the scripture just starts to flow out of you. Amen. And one after another, you're able to turn to the word of God and show them what God's word tells them to do. Hallelujah. No greater thrill. And what great power and great blessing that the Lord would bring forth in our lives. How can I except some man guide me? And not man's guidance we're talking about there. We're talking about the Spirit anointing you, the Spirit enabling you, the Spirit blessing you to do that work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Trudy's husband, Frank, needs prayer this morning. Terrible pain in his back, need of medication, need of surgical procedure to help that, but God can do the work right now in Jesus' name. You two ladies, lay hands on Trudy right now. Amen. Spencer needs a healing touch from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stephen Merle, just lay your hands on him right now in Jesus' name. The rest of us, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Your touch to heal. Your touch to help, Lord. Your touch to pour out the Holy Ghost. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, in your name, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Glory to God. You want the Lord to use you to guide somebody. You want the Lord to use you through the power of His Spirit. Amen. I want you to come and stand in this altar area right now. We're going to dedicate ourselves to that purpose. We're going to reach out to the Lord for His power. Amen. We're going to say, Lord, use me. Use me. There are so many in this world who are lost. So many in this world who are searching. They're looking in the wrong places. They're looking at the wrong things. But oh, the hand of God in our lives can reach out to them and help them to understand. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Anoint us, God. Oh, Jesus, anoint us with your Spirit. Hallelujah. Empower us, God. Oh, Jesus, empower us, Lord. Your ability in the Holy Ghost. Lord God, that we can see somebody who is searching. We can be directed by the Holy Ghost into the harvest. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.